Steve Dickinson, it is awesome. I mean, we've just covered a whole range of folk and spoken to some of the actors and folk that are actually here. I'm just blown away. You guys have done it again.
Yeah, we've done our best. You know, we like to try and top what we did last year, and I think we might have done it, yeah.
It's one of the reasons why, as I said to Darren Scales, for the last 3 or 4 years, Darren, you should get The Expanse and The Drift and things. So, Darren, welcome.
Well, it's good to be here, finally, yeah, and I want to get my get Darkwave shown here as well, but it's a fabulous event. I mean, just looking at the Star Trek bridge over there, definitely have to get a picture over there, so it'll be great.
So what would you like to present Steve with, looking ahead to next year? And also, maybe some flies, which I don't know, Steve, you might want to leave on a table that was currently going to be occupied by Richard Piers Raylan.
Yeah, someone snaffled Richard's table, but there's a table on the other side of the hall over there that's empty, so we can drop some flyers on there and people will grab them, yeah.
Well, actually, you should have a look at them. Darren, would you like to show? We'll do an audition on air here, see if it passes the Steve Dickinson test of quality. Have you got a flyer up on your person?
Well, I do. I haven't signed these ones, but yeah, no, I do have flyers, but Dark Ridge of the Storm, filmed near Loud. So it's got that northern feel to it, about a family stuck in the middle of nowhere being hunted by the evil ministry.
And featuring a fellow friend of sci-fi, Scarborough,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, Shane Rimmer from year two, yeah, from 2015. Fact, yeah, great guy.
Shane was one of the people who, together with Ed Fortune, responsible for us meeting in many ways.
Yeah, brilliant. It's great, isn't it? Small world.
It has to be said, I don't know if you caught Wednesday's show, but Steve Dickinson, really proud of the fact that Marina Sirtis coming to Bridlington in pantomime.
Oh my goodness, Deanna Troi is coming to the UK. That's awesome. Awesome news.
She's like, she's my dream woman, but she knows it because I told her.
And he even sent a photograph of himself with a cardboard cutout of...
I have a cardboard cutout of her in my kitchen. My mum got it from a car boot sale for £2 and brought it down. I said, Mother, that's the best thing you've ever got me. It's nearly better than the life you gave me.
If I'd have known that, I would have bought my cardboard Jean-Luc, which I also have. So you could have gone together, could have been magic, could have been real magic there.
Brilliant, yeah.
Next year. Of course, our very own Deanna Troi, Kesha Nicklin, graduate of the University of Lincoln, also with us today. Kesha, your thoughts? Are you stepped through the door?
Oh, brilliant. It's a massive venue. Lovely scenery outside. I love the picturesque sea and everything. I think it's going to be a great day, great weekend.
Steve, we won't keep you any longer, but you know, fantastic stuff from that point of view. We'll see you, obviously, as things go around. The rest of the crew are already sort of enjoying themselves, actually in the Cathedral of Creativity. We've already been speaking to the creator of the Scarborough Witch, and they've been R2-D2'd. Yeah. And we've got Hellboy up there, and yeah, we've got, it's just every way you turn.
There's loads of stuff, isn't there, up there? Yeah, it's a great room. The Ocean Room's been a difficult one to program over the years because it's up on the first floor on the other side of the building, and it's getting people, you know, interested enough, putting something interesting in there to drag people across and make sure they know. Obviously we've got all the signage up this year as well, that kind of helps, but yeah, we want to do something for the cosplayers and creators, so we put all that in there and it looks amazing.
Any final thoughts, Des, for the creator here, the great bird of the galaxy, as we like to say?
Well, no, I just want to get around here and just see what's what. It looks fantastic, so I can't wait to get in to come and see what's going on.
Excellent.
In terms of renewing acquaintances, etc., it was only this morning we actually started off with the whole Tempest Red scenario. But if you recall, I was saying there, guys, what about movie options? What about various other bits and pieces? What I've done today, and good to see you as ever.
Hello, it's nice to see you.
Is I've actually brought along Darren Scales, filmmaker behind the Dark Universe mythology.
The Dark Wave Universe.
Dark Wave,
yes.
Exactly.
Show you a leaflet.
And a whole heap of other good things from that point of view. And who knows, this could just be a whole interesting line from that point of view. We've also got the fabulous Kesha, who's worked in a whole variety of things on Dark Wave, Edge of the Storm, etc. In fact, Kesha, what did you do with that when you went undergraduate?
So I was a production coordinator on this film. It was filmed in Lincoln, so it's locally based. The budget was £5,000, so it was, yeah, really low budget, but excellent quality, so definitely check it out.
It is quite amazing. But Darren, any questions you'd like to put to Shannon here with respect to Tempest Red and so on?
So what is Tempest Red in a nutshell?
Well, it is a dark fantasy about a corrupt dynasty that brings about the apocalypse.
As I said, Trump, Brexit, it's there.
It's already, it's happening right now. It's like you have foretold the future.
And in terms of how's it been going so far, because this is your first event, and as I say, coming from California, thanks to your husband here, of course, to London, England, to Scarborough, is it too much of a go? We've already spoken upstairs to find that actually John Paul Jones, much beloved admiral in the American Army, or American Navy, etc., actually had his base at Scarborough. So there is a connection. This is where the American War of Independence started, as the Star Trek theme sort of emerges in the background.
It just got very dramatic here, didn't it?
Yeah, they've been going really well.
I think we should stand up. Yeah, we are standing.
I'm just feeling a little bit, you know, a bit trackified right now.
Anyway, have you got any questions you want to put to Darren or indeed Kasia about Dark Wave, Edge of the Storm?
Check this out. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Building that whole thing. Enjoy the rest of the day. We'll see you again soon.
You too.
Thank you. You too.
Well, finally, I can actually reach the stage of saying, continuing the line here, Darren Scales obviously promoting the whole system here. We're with Callum and his team of fine folk. Callum, can you just explain to Darren here how you guys have been making movies on the internet now for a good few years and continue to do so?
We started when we were kids, and we just did it like, you know, when kids play around. And we just decided that we should just film it. And we've pretty much stayed like that for about 5 years now.
See, I'm thinking, I'm seeing a sort of a resonance here. You see what we've got there? Darren, would you like to share with him your sort of path?
So we did exactly the same. So we started a company called Backyard Productions because we made movies in the backyard. So, and then we made a bit of a Star Wars movie called The Empire Strikes Backyard. Loads of puns. We did another movie called Batman Returns Forever, which obviously combined the three at the time. We did Doom Raiders, Indiana Jones movie, exactly like you guys. But I think our first movie we ever made was like 5 minutes long. It was called Aliens-es, because it was like we had Alien, Aliens. So obviously it's Aliens-es that comes after that. And then we had like this rabbit bursting out of a stomach, you know, and we had like food colouring for guts and stuff like that. So is that what you guys kind of do?
We haven't got to that level, seeing as the main thing we've done is Doctor Who, and obviously in Doctor Who you don't really show that sort of stuff. But we're starting to move on to that sort of stuff now.
My brother is massive into Doctor Who. He's going to every location and filming, because he did the films with me. He does Torchwood as well, and he started doing a crossover of all that type of stuff. So have you got like a website or anything?
Card right there.
Okay, cool. So Cyber King Productions is the name. Like, do you have to say it like that? Is it okay if I just say Cyber King? Cyber King! Right, okay, that's awesome. We'll check you guys out, definitely. And we're Backyard Productions, by the way, backyardproductions.co.uk. But I'll send you an email as well.
Okay, cool, cheers.
It's networking in action, guys. Many thanks to you. Thanks, sir.
It's all right, cheers.
And let's give a name check for your other team here, because they're all here in full force. We've got
Callum.
And
Callum.
And
Joe.
Yeah, you see, Callum, and Joe.
Callum, and Joe.
Of course,
Cyber King.
Darren, we've now brought you to the fabulous Ian, part of the R2 Builders people.
That's awesome, fabulous. We had we built an R2-D2, but nothing like what these guys have got here for one of our movies. So these are really impressive. Absolutely, I mean, they just look like the real thing, the real R2-D2.
Ian. Obviously Disney own the whole sort of Star Wars franchise now. Who would you most like to see the droids go up against? If you were given an all-round dream, which franchise would you like to see them go?
A battle royale?
Yes.
Oh crikey. In terms of robots or just anyone?
Darren, who would you most like to see?
Oh, Maximilian from the Black Hole.
That's a good call. But then again, the R2s would have Vincent and old Bob helping them out as well.
Well, yes.
So Maximilian, that's a good shout, actually. What about Metal Mickey?
Boogie Woogie.
I'm showing my age now, I really am.
Let's take that Metal Biggie and raise you the joys of Tweaky, biddy, 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 biddy.
Now, another good shout. And again, R2 would take Tweaky out, no problem at all.
Buck Rogers in the 25th century, fantastic. Any further thoughts, Kasia?
I think they're wonderful. They're just whizzing around here on the floor. Just careful not to trip over them. But they're brilliant. Lovely.
I think it's amazing how stable they are. And what I mean is, like, when we built one and filmed it, and we had it radio controlled and all the rest of it. Yeah. But at the end, it died. We literally had to pull it with a string in the film to make it work. It was the last. And the thing is, one of his wheels was dodgy, so he did like this curve. He didn't go in a straight line. So we had the 10-4 corridor, and the last shot in the movie is this R2-D2 is like really long curve along a straight corridor with a string. So the fact you guys could just roll around is fabulous. Absolutely awesome.
Thank you.
Of course, we're referring to The Empire Strikes Backyard, something you may not have actually encountered in your oeuvre, Ian.
No, that's right. I must hunt this down.
IMDb is there. This is the question I wanted to put to you, Daz, in terms of that history of material, because the Indiana Jones and, of course, the joys of Empire Strikes Backyard, what inspired you other than Star Wars?
I suppose with everything that Lucas and Spielberg have worked on separately or collaboratively, but we always like a challenge, and like, let's say, the R2-D2s especially, it's trying to push that boundary at whatever level you're at. And at that time when we made The Empire Strikes Backyard and The Emperor's New Clones, budget was only £3,000, and it was literally, you know, cardboard bits of stuff from packaging and whatever, and you just you put it all together. But the other thing that's really cool is the networking, getting people involved. You know, the guy who built the R2 for us, he'd never done it before for a film, and that collaboration was really good. And I think now we just look for, like with Dark Wave, we're doing our own franchise, our own sci-fi, but bringing together all the bits that we love, like Aliens. That's another one. Like, you know, you've got to have tubes, you've got to have smoke, you've got to have corridors, you've got to have black and yellow stripy tape everywhere.
Grime,
dirt,
dirty universe.
Lived in, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Ian, I know you're desperately keen to ask Des, how can he actually find out details about his awesome movie, The Expanse?
Definitely. Please, where do I find it? Where do I exit? Not just for me, but for the rest of the R2 builders.
Well, you can check out all the Star Wars movies, the Indiana Jones, at our website, which is backyardproductions.co.uk.
That's excellent. Thank you very much.
No.
We are basically in an area where we'd say it is the law. You will obey the law. Sci-Fi Scarborough is a place of you will geek beside the seaside. Isn't that right?
Yes, it is.
And we're speaking to?
Andy.
Andy, looking a little bit warm today, Andy, but then again, that's not surprising. Talk to us about Judge Taylor and why you're dressed as Judge Taylor from Mega City 1 by the Judge Dredd bike here at Sci-Fi Scarborough.
Part of a group called the Brexit Judges. We've on Facebook, we have over 2,000 members. We're all fans of anything 2000 AD.
2,000 members, 2000 AD, so we did that.
Yeah. We're the largest UK-based group that's based on a particular character. Quite a few of us dress up. We all have replica costumes, same as in the movie. We have our own, we have the comic versions, we have various takes on it. We have the British version, the Brit, basically it's a British judge. We call them the smiling assassins because all they do is smile. When we've got the helmet on, we're Mega City 1, we don't smile, we grunt.
You're not doing a Sylvester Stallone here. Put the helmet on, Sly, put it on now.
No, we don't. When we're in costume and we're not sweating, we have the helmets on.
And not Carl Urban, obviously.
No, the reason we can take our helmets off, we're not Dredd.
Nice.
Dredd never removes helmets. Other judges can.
Exactly, this is very true. Now, also we have Cy Judge Anderson. I don't see she her recommender today. Is she around?
No, she's an independent model that does it. She goes around. There is an Anderson that works for Planet Replicas, and she promotes their products.
Okay, Darren, 2000 AD fan at all?
Well, I've seen the Sylvester Stallone one, obviously, which was good. It's okay, but I did like the comics a little bit more. But I am really intrigued about the costume as well. Do you make them yourself? Is there like places you can go? Is it a bit of a mix?
You can buy replicas.
Right.
This is a boat replica.
Right.
But it's had to look together. The boots come as a base, so you've got to build the boots up.
Yeah.
The helmets you can get. There's some there, replicas. These are polycarbonate resin.
Right.
You can drop these. I've had this for 5 years.
Right.
And it's real marks on it that's been dropped.
Well, I'd like to put it on.
I'm just going to say, is that going to be a possibility? Darren is now going to put on his official, authentic judge helmet. This is going to be a photo opportunity gone crazy here. So, you know, already it's working through there. Is he making a good judge? He's got the other things. He's getting his gun as well. Actually, you were the first costume group here at Sci-Fi Scarborough back in the joys of what would it be now? 2013?
Yep, 2013, year after the film came out. We was getting the word out, so to speak.
I've heard it tell that there is a Judge Dredd TV series in the offing. High hopes for that?
Yeah, it's called Mega City 1. Supposed to come out late next year, but there's a rumour it could be middle of next year.
You see, as one of the folk who was around in the original 2000 AD era, I'm often thinking, why not Mac 1? Why not man activated by compupuncture hyperpower?
Dredd's more popular, always has been.
Even though he wasn't in the first edition of 2000 AD?
No, he appeared in the second edition.
Just checking that.
It was actually created by John Wagner and drawn by Carlos Esquire. Believe it or not, our members of our group. We know the history about where it came from, so we know Carl.
He's had his East Meg Judge, he's had his Block City Wars, he's had everything basically, and he's still going in this mega city complex, a kind of combination of Dirty Harry for the 23rd century.
It is, but you've got to remind, Dredd Stories are actually in real time, and he's actually 70. So he's been going.
That's Clint Eastwood, of course.
Yep.
In fact, he's 90, isn't it?
It was actually never based on Clint Eastwood. That's a myth. It was actually based on David Carradine.
Kung Fu.
Yeah. The idea,
Death Race 2000.
Yeah, that's where the costume came from. It was. We've been told by the creators. That's where the Carlos got the inspiration from. It was from the poster.
I've got to ask you. What sort of judge did you think Darren would make? Would he have actually passed the Psycor test? Would
yeah,
he be there?
Yeah, we'll have to give him some gun training.
Give me some weapons handling training. A bit of cock hook and look and all that.
So that time is at RAF Waddington, presumably just hasn't cut the mustard.
Clearly, it's obviously a difference between being in the RAF and being in the army or something like that.
So. Actually, I was in the RAF. So.
Oh, were you? Yeah, all right, okay. I did that, but I was behind the desk. That's what I flew, was a desk. So.
I didn't fly the planes, I repaired them.
No, you fixed them. Yeah, when the guys got back, you made them work again.
Yeah, I was a mechanic. And if the pilots didn't like us, then we'll be sad.
They didn't like me, I was a Deo, so they didn't like me.
You're listening to former RAF people shoot the breeze here at the Sci-Fi Scarborough Convention. Even an interview I wasn't expecting, but many thanks indeed. How can people access your good self via Facebook and so on?
Yeah, it's on Facebook. Just look for Britsit Judges. We'll come up, just type in that and we'll pop up, we'll give you a link to it, and you can actually, anybody, it's open to anybody, anybody can go through and look at the photographs, and if you want to join, just put your name forward. And as an admin member myself, we'll actually let people in and join.
Like Kasher in then, presumably?
Yep, anybody can join.
Wow, you could become a judge.
It looks really cool. I love the outfits and they're wonderful. I'd love to wear it.
This is my daughter, she's a medic. And she didn't want to kill people, she wanted to save people. So, as you can see,
a Wookiee behind us now.
It's surreal.
That's what I mean about the diversity of the costume. As you look at the helmet, it's quite different to others.
Come in, daughter of the other judge here. Why did you become a medic then? To save lives?
I don't know. I told you,
it looks cool, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
It was his idea, it was like just a pop into you, editing it out of the comics.
So, this was a paint job done by a friend of mine. We created the helmet, made it from scratch, got the badge from America, and put everything together. This cost £2,000, and this cost about £250-300.
Right. And I'm intrigued in terms of the juxtaposition, because right next door to you, you got a statue of Hellboy, and I presume the California Highway Patrol people.
This is the Andy Mansion collection. All these that you see on the table were actually from the film. That is actually the bike that Dredd rode in the movie.
Wow.
It's actually Dredd's bike. Carl Urban rode that.
Do you mean Dr. McCoy's backside has actually pressed itself on this rear?
Yes, he did. It does run.
Right.
It does work. And it has, I believe, got an MOT.
That is awesome. Working prop. You can't beat that, really.
But if you ride it, it's got the turning circle of Titanic. Because of the extent, if you can see how the wheelbase is.
How far, very big.
It does all run, all
the
way.
He would wheelie it around, wouldn't he? Or something. Or spin it. On the rear wheel.
He's driving it. Right. He said, he was a biker, professional racer, and he said it was a death trap.
Well, as long as it looks good in the film, I suppose, that's what counts, isn't it? Yep.
That's a wonderful insight. And what about the Chips bike? Is that from the movie as well?
No idea. That's another part of the collection.
Ah,
right. Same as the Hellboy. That's the screen news jacket.
It could even be Terminator 2, possibly.
Good point.
Yeah.
But the helmets. As you can see here, they're all the ones that the judges wore, and there's various degrees of prototypes and things before they got them right.
And it's been simply fantastic. I'm finally glad that after 5 years we managed to actually touch base with your good self. We won't leave it so long, and hopefully catch up with you for Sci-Fi Scarborough 2019.
Yes, we'll be back next year if we survive the sweat from this on the heat. And every time we come here, Last year it was 25 degrees. I think it's going to be 22 today, and we're wearing leathers.
Oh, well. Unlucky for you.
Now, over the years, we've encountered Gwyneth Griffiths, who's a cosplay up in Tyneside. We've connected all sorts of things. Kasia Nicklin, I didn't realise you had a secret ambition, as well as being an ace producer and general filmmaker, to actually get into cosplay yourself.
Yeah, it's something that I've just thought about quite recently. The last Comic-Con I went to, I went as Sarah Connor, which is quite fun. But something like Wonder Woman, which I see you have there on your stall, is something that I'd love to get into. But kind of, where do you start with things like this?
So we're speaking now to
Julie Morrishow at Cosmic Workshop.
Julie, talk to us about how Kasia can take those first steps to becoming Wonder Woman, daughter of Themyscira.
Well, we're leather workers, so we do with leather, armour and accessories specifically for cosplay. So the first thing is just get in touch with us. There's a couple of versions of Wonder Woman, whether you want to go comic or Gal Gadot. So reference images if it's something that you think we might not have seen already. And then if we quote you and you're happy with the price and what it'd cost for us to make that for you in leather, then it's just a case of we'll get you measured up, and in the case of Wonder Woman, probably get you to do a bit of a duct tape body form just around the top area so we can get it to
fit. I find I have the same challenge myself, actually. Yeah. How often that duct tape, you just think, whoa, where am I going here?
But everything we do is custom made to measure, which is why when we do events like this, we exhibit rather than sell, because we want it to be absolutely 100% comfortable for you. So
I didn't even know this sort of thing existed. So it's brilliant. I'm glad I came.
I'm off to that. I mean, actually, if I was casting director, I would say Kasia's probably more Wonder Girl. Actually, she's kind of more sort of
Wonder Girl.
Yeah, definitely Wonder
though,
Girl.
She's a lovely looking lady and probably carry anything off.
Well, yeah, exactly. And what brought you to Cosmic Workshop? Was it something that you sort of always worked to? Have you been an aficionado of genre programming?
I kind of got into it all at once. I was a secondary school teacher, taught woodwork, metalwork. I've always been very creative, degrees in sculpture, so I love materials, especially tactile materials. And I started out doing some design work for somebody to kind of press into some leather armour. And then I got my hands on some leather myself and started doing the armour to match the designs, and I kind of fell in love with it. So at the time, I was doing a lot of graphic design work because I'd left teaching when I had my daughter. And I thought, I love this material. And I was literally bouncing out of bed in the morning, couldn't wait to get to work. And I was like, this is it. This is what I want to do. So that was about 7 years ago that I started doing leather work specifically.
And it continues ever onwards. Black Canary, I think, will probably be my favourite sort of cosplay character.
She is lush. She is. Yeah. Yes.
Darren.
Well, I just find it absolutely amazing. I didn't even realise it was made out of leather. A lot of the stuff is done with like other sort of soft materials and stuff like that. And to sculpt some of this stuff in leather is absolutely amazing. And the quality, I mean, they're not just, most props just have to look good for a film.
Spoken as a filmmaker, though.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as they create the illusion on set and they last the duration of the filming, that's all you need to worry about. A bit of comfort is always good. But this stuff is like, this is real. That's a real holster. That's the real Wonder Woman costume. So if Wonder Woman was like working like every day, which she probably does in her world, she'd want that.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's exactly what we go for, because cosplayers wear their costumes over and over and over again. Whereas filming, they might have 20 disposable outfits that they can throw on for each shoot. With us, cosplayer doesn't want to fork out hundreds of pounds every single convention to replace what they've used. So, although, I mean, you can do some amazing stuff with foam and warbler. I've got a colleague, Pippa Wolf Cosplay, and she's just started working in leather as well. But she's an absolute goddess at warbler. And what she makes with that stuff is amazing. But again, it's a different material and it's a different qualities that you're going after. Yeah. So it is good to shop around on what material you're after.
I'm beginning to think here, and as ever, when I do try to think, every so often, a couple of years or so, I'm thinking, there's an idea germinating here. What about if Kasia, over the next 12 months or so, takes your tutelage and actually works through that? Would you be up for actually taking Kasia through the sort of system and becoming getting a Wonder Woman thing sorted through? Would that be a possibility, and we document the whole thing?
Yeah, if that's what she wants to do, we
Kasia,
can
would that appeal to yourself? I'm thinking about how things are going. We could do sort of regular audio updates in terms of how you become Wonder Woman.
Yeah, definitely. I'll come on the radio and we can talk about how it's going. And I'm sure
we'll exchange details and so on. Darren, do you want to be Wonder Woman as well?
Well, I could be Wonder Man or something like that.
I was going to Captain Lincoln. Daz could get some perhaps tips for costumes for his next film.
Well, definitely. I mean, that's what I'm looking at here. Is thinking, because apart from when we're making films and some of the, especially the lower budget stuff.
Dark Wave, probably the most awesome movie you'll ever see. We will tell you about that in a few seconds.
The issue with low budget, and I'm going to say it's not that low, but in terms of low, is how often you film. So rather than like filming in like one big lot when and your costume only has to last that long, we might film across perhaps 6 months. Yeah. And that costume's got to come in, go out. And we, you know, to actually invest in something like this sort of material, it's going to go the distance. And definitely that's something I'd never thought about before. So this is really worth looking into.
Do a little photo shoot. We've also been joined by the rest of our team. They finally located us as well, which is brilliant. For the moment, many thanks indeed. How can people get in touch with your good self in terms of the web?
We're all over social media. If you search Facebook, we're under Cosmic Workshop 1 because I'm an idiot. And we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, and you've got the main website, which is www.cosmicworkshop.co.uk.
Well, as we've just alluded to, we have indeed, following the footsteps of Judge Dredd and cosplay, etc., we found our three location reporters who effectively had left abandoned in many ways, abandoned without microphone or anything else, to actually sort through to touch base with Darren and Kasia. So, Shaylee, how's it been going?
It's been going really well, Alex. We thought you were, like, drowning in the sea. But
I was waving.
Yes, good. We went to Vita Dome and checked out some board games. There were some very passionate people in there. And we played a board game, I believe, called Bang, which is sort of like a Western-themed like dice game. It was really cool, I think.
Nicola, it's your first ever science fiction-themed event. Was it worth getting up at 5 a.m. this morning and leaving Teesside at 6:45?
Of course it was. I've had an amazing day.
See, next week, Nicola's going to be going to the Harrogate Spring Flower Show.
Very nice. You'll enjoy it.
Amazing. And Johnny, from your own perspective, R2-D2 makers and so on, how does it fit? Have you had any favourite sounds so far that you've encountered?
Oh, yeah, they're playing all sorts of music, and we're hearing a lot of sound bites from the movies as well. I personally like there's a black and orange R2-D2 that's wandering around that's my favourite, but there's also one that likes to follow people around and scare them with noises.
Have you been scared by any Daleks as yet?
No, well, we've only walked past the Daleks on the way in. I haven't seen any wandering about yet, but I'm sure if they sneak up on somebody, that'll be quite interesting.
Well, you've been listening to Siren Radio and the Midweek Drive and Southside Broadcasting on location at the 2018 Sci-Fi Scarborough event. Shaylee, as somebody who's not a veteran, but you've attended a few cosplay and a few sort of events over the years, how's it been shaping up for you, and was it worth leaving Lincoln at that early hour this morning?
It was definitely worth it, and it's a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be, so having loads of fun.
So we can say two thumbs up to Steve Dickinson?
Yes, definitely, 100%.